What a blessing.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Revelation chapter 20. I hope you got your Bible today. And now listen. Church is about the Word of God. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about what you like or I like. It's the Word of God. That's what church is all about. The Word of God should make Jesus Christ preeminent, make Him the centerpiece of the church and the services and everything. He ought to be preeminent. Now, the way we do that is by the Word of God. We don't do that by entertainment. We don't do that by, you know, dancing and singing and all these things. We do it by the faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. This is the most important. Now, I enjoy singing the hymns, and the Lord enjoys that. He inhabits the praise of His people. Yes. I enjoy special songs, and God inhabits those when they're right, you know, like that one today. And but church is not about us. It's about Him. Everything's about Him. So today, I want to talk to you for just a little bit about God is paying attention. Write that down back there, son, somewhere to put on here. God is paying attention. In Revelation chapter 20. Let's start with verse 11. God is paying attention. And I saw a great white throne and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was no place found for them. There was no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to his works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let's pray. Father, bless the reading of your word today. Help us. Help me as I try to expound on it. Lord, give me liberty. Fill me with your spirit and your presence, Lord. But most of all, that you might be exalted and that a sinner might be saved and a saint might be blessed, Lord. And those that are troubled would be untroubled, whatever it might be. And those that are brokenhearted be healed. And then, Lord, if anything's done here, like always, we will give you the glory and you the honor, because you're what it's all about. And so help us get our mind on you today, Lord. And we'll thank you for whatever you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it does not look much like God is paying attention. It does not much look like that God, in our age, this age that we live in, is paying attention. Doesn't much look like that. It's a time of rioting, perversion, sin, deception, and that great falling away of the church. That's the time we live in.
Amen.
It's not a time for sending up balloons or having a party. It looks like that God's just not there. But I got good news. God knows exactly what's going on. And God is he's writing it down. He's counting the day. And He is writing down for those who are living today to give account.
Amen.
To give account.
Yes.
Look at verse 12 in chapter 21 there. Verse 12. He says, I'm sorry, chapter 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and their books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. God is writing it down.
Yes, He is.
There's a recording
yes.
right now. Not just Facebook or YouTube, but there's a recording in heaven. There is a recorder in heaven, and it is being written down, every bit of it. And so we look around and we see the rioting and we see the perversion. You ever seen such a sick society as we live in? The perversion. We see the outright wickedness and sin. We see the deception and we say, how can people not see that they're being deceived? And we see that, and boy, it just makes our blood boil. What are we going to do, you know? And then, if that was not the worst, we see the falling away of those who claimed that they were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Come on now, yeah.
And we see the compromise. And we see that those who once said they were believers are going along with those who are not believers. And it just gets worse and it's worse and it's worse. But we forget God told us that was coming.
That's right.
In the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers in themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection.
Yes.
And God told us that was coming, but we didn't know it was going to be like this.
Yeah.
We didn't know it would look so bad and sound so bad and make us feel so bad.
Yeah.
We can't even watch the news on television.
Yeah. Come on, boy.
I tried to read our local paper this morning. There's no local news in there. It's all national news, attacking a president, attacking a Republican, attacking a court justice. And the people that are writing it are reprobates. They hate God. They hate the church. They hate the Bible. And it has taken control of all the airwaves and all the newsprint. And we didn't know it would happen like this. I'd like to read about them getting that cat out of the tree this week.
Right.
Yeah.
Like we used to.
Yeah.
I would like to read that the fire truck went down there and put out Sister Susie's stove because it had a grease fire this week.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd like to read that the local church was open and people was getting saved and baptized this week.
Yes.
I don't want to have a political slant on everything.
Yeah.
I want some good news.
Yes.
Good news.
The gospel.
I want to hear the old story of Jesus and his love.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. I want to hear that the church is alive and well on planet Earth and God's still blessing his church.
Yes.
I want to hear that, don't you?
Yes.
And if we don't read the Bible, we're going to get discouraged.
Right.
We're just going to get discouraged.
Yes.
But you know, God knows.
Yes, he does.
And God's keeping account.
Yes, he is.
And I want you to remember some things this morning. I'm going to tell you just a couple things I want you to remember because we're in this age that we're in. I want you to remember some things, okay? I have to remind myself. In verse 15, he said, it is written. And I'm going to turn this down because I see y'all sweating. Okay. I hope it's for my preaching, but just in case. Number 15, verse 15. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life. God has it written.
Yes.
He said the books are open. The books of works and the books of salvation and the books of denial and the books of wickedness and all these things are open. I want you to remember it is written. Number one, the saved, their names are written in heaven. Amen. Philippians, if you will, chapter 4, verse 3. Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, and I tell you, do this for your benefit that you might mark these and remember these. Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. God's writing it down. God knows how you live. God's writing it down for reward or loss of reward. God's not asleep.
He hadn't gone on a trip somewhere. He's alive and well, sitting on the throne of God, and he knows exactly what's going on, and it is written, the names of the saved are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Yes.
Thank you, Father.
Yeah. Now, everybody's name's in the Book of Life. You were born.
Yes.
And that's why he says in Revelation, if you go changing this stuff, he takes your name out of the Book of Life, not the Lamb's Book of Life. Nobody's in the Lamb's Book of Life would change the Scriptures. It's those others. And he says, in other words, they're going to be doomed for death, hell, and the grave. That's the Book of Life, those that are born. But those that are born again are in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
And thank God, we don't have to wait till we get there to find that out.
Yes, sir.
He said, this is written so you may know that you have eternal life.
Yeah.
And he goes on to say, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's already written.
Yes.
And I see a crooked politician up there lying through her teeth, and you know who I'm talking about. And she's putting everything holy down and claims to be a Christian. I say, I doubt your name's in there. That, hey, our name's in there. I don't have to worry about it. It's done. March 5th, 1978. I said, Lord Jesus, forgive me. I'm a dirty, rotten sinner. I want to go to hell, but I don't want to go to hell. And God looked over at that angel and he said, write that down. Write that down. In indelible ink, the blood of Jesus Christ. Write that name down in the blood of Jesus Christ. And it'll never be taken out of the Book of Life. And no matter how bad it looks here, no matter how bad I feel, no matter how bad I fail, it's still in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank God it is written. I don't have to worry about it or hope so or think so or maybe so or even believe so. I know so. Well, how do you know? Because it's written. You know it because you feel like it. No, I don't always feel like it. I don't always look like it. I don't always act like it. I don't always sound like it. I wish I was, but I'm not perfect yet. But thank God it is written.
Yes.
And it cannot be taken out. Amen. Hey, indelible ink, the blood of Jesus Christ. My name. And look, people say, well, preacher, I do all these things. I'm trying to serve the Lord. I'm trying to serve the church. I'm trying to do this Sunday school. I do this. I witness. I preach at the nurse's home. And sometimes I get discouraged. Well, I just read you in Philippians 4:3. God's keeping record of that.
Yes.
You don't have to worry about if anybody else notices that or not. It won't matter if everybody in here gives you an A for that. If God doesn't, amen. God's writing it down. God's writing down you're a good wife. God's writing down you're a good husband. God's writing down you're a good mother. God's writing down you're a good father. God's writing down you're a good son or daughter or brother or sister. God's writing it down. You ain't got to worry about that. God's keeping a record.
Oh, man. Yep.
It is written. Remember that. When we see all this perversion and wickedness and ungodliness and all this stuff, you know, you say, preacher, those are all people. Yeah, they are. They're lost people. And I can't run my life on what lost people think about me.
Come on now.
I can't run my life. We can't run a church on what this generation of lost people thinks about the church. We got to go by what God has written down.
Amen.
Well, preacher, I think, and I've heard people say this, I think you ought to bring those people in and give them something to do. And if you'll give them something to do, they'll fall in love with the church and they'll become a Christian. No, they won't. They'll contaminate you. You get them saved first.
Good preaching. Come on.
That's like saying, let's go down here and get us some creek water. And if we drank it, our body will purify that thing and it'll be all right. No, it won't. You're going to get sick and die if you drank that stuff. Hey, I wouldn't even get out there, a little pond down there through that neighborhood and that those trees over there. And this home over here has got a septic tank that runs over like crazy every time it rains. And there's a big stream running down the road right now, running in that manhole, and it's running under that street, and it's running right down there in that pond. But if we all go get us a drink, we might make it better, might we? No, it won't. No. You better purify it before you put it in your body. And people need to be purified before they get in the body of Christ.
Come on now.
You can't work somebody into salvation.
Well, maybe if we'll just make him a preacher, he'll be a good guy. No, he'll be a wicked preacher. It is written, the names of the saved. That's why and how we can rejoice in these last days. Luke 10, verse 20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the saints are subject, the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven.
Amen.
Listen, that's how and why we can rejoice in these last days. Now look here. As born again Christians, we do have some power through the Holy Spirit to influence this world. We have power through the Holy Ghost to influence wicked people. We do. And that's why we're supposed, everywhere we go, we let our light shine. It's supposed to influence others. They're on your job. The Holy Ghost in you and you letting Him shine through you and speak through you. That ought to influence other people to be saved or at the least to act better. I went to work at the Kanawha Insurance Office in Fort Mill. And I got my first review 90 days later. My manager called me in there and he said, he gave me a few good marks, you know, and he said, I want to talk to you about something. I thought, here it comes. Here it comes. They didn't find a reason to get rid of him. He said, I want to tell you what a difference your presence has made in this office. He said, I used to come in here in the mornings, people was cussing and complaining and going on all the time, using profanity. He said, but for the past 3 or 4 weeks, I come in here and I hear people say, praise God, brother. Amen, brother. That's right, brother. He said, they're all brothers now. I looked at him and said, amen, brother. Our light should shine wherever we are and it ought to influence others. But we can't make people be saved. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And look, getting them to change their habits or hobbies or all these things, we can't do it. I can't change a Democrat or a Republican. I can vote. But it used to be that the church was an influence on society. If a man or woman ran for a public office, where'd they go? They'd go down to church and try to get the local church people to vote for them. And they tell what they stood against. But now, it ain't happening now. They don't care what we think anymore. And boy, we say, well, that looks bad. That looks bad. Yeah, it does look bad, but I got news for you. This hadn't surprised God a bit. It is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven. It doesn't matter what a Democrat says or Republican says or a liberal or a leftist or even those falling away Christians say, I'm on my way to heaven, not because I'm good, but because He's good.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank God. Remember that. I had to remind myself this week. I just get all... Look at Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. I have to remind myself of this. Revelation 3, verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before His angels. Let me tell you what you need to remember. Not only is it written that you're saved, but it's written that you're eternally saved.
Yes.
Amen.
You're eternally saved. You say, preacher, why this person said they used to be saved, but now they've gone back to their old life, they ain't saved no more. You can't be unsaved, okay? You can't lose something you never paid for. It was a gift. God gave it to you. Now you can walk away from it, but I got news for you. And this is what Free Will Baptists think. They think you can walk away from it and just throw it away. But I got news for you. As long as Hebrews chapter 12 is in the Bible, if He adopted you into His family, you've been saved by the grace of God, it would bring shame on the name of Jesus to let you walk away from that salvation. He's He's not going to let you do it. Hebrews chapter 12 says he will chasten you. Yes. Matter of fact, says he chastens everyone whom he receives. Yes. That proves to me that my salvation is eternal. Yes. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. It doesn't matter who's in the State House. It doesn't even matter who's in the pulpit. Amen. Amen. My salvation is eternal, unchangeable. Unchangeable. That's good news.
Yeah.
In the day we live in. That's good news. You say, preacher, what if I get deceived? You can't be deceived. You cannot be deceived. Go back into that mess. You won't live there long. He'll whip you out of there.
Right.
Amen. And by the way, when you go back, it wasn't because you was deceived. It's because you wanted to.
Right.
Amen.
If you're a believer. Revelation 3:20 gives me eternal life. But I want you to think about Hebrews 7:25. Don't turn there. I'm going to tell you. It says saved to the uttermost. Yes. Hebrews 7:25. You know what that means? I'm saved as far as you can get saved.
Amen.
Saved to the uttermost. I'm saved if I'm over here halfway backslid. Or if I'm over here the best Christian ever walked the planet earth. I'm saved from the guttermost to the uttermost.
Amen.
He brought me out of the gutter, and now I'm headed to the utter.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, some of y'all catch that later on. But listen, my name cannot be removed. It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. I don't care who's in the White House. It is written. I don't care who's the House of Representatives. It's written. I don't care who's in the State House. It's written. I don't care who's in the church house. It is written. We need to remember that in this wicked, perverted, ungodly age that we live in. By the way, do you think the Christians in the day of Rome had it any better than you do?
Sir.
While they were having orgies and homosexual orgies and they had a perverted worship and all this stuff, poor Christian was hiding out in a cave somewhere, scared to death because they might take him or her and tie him to a pole and cover him in tar and set him on fire to light the street at night by.
Yeah.
And we complain because we don't like who's president. Amen. I'm saved to the uttermost. There's nothing that anybody in this world can do to change that. I can't even change that. Thank God I can't change that.
Amen. Yeah.
Then I want you to remember this. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Look at verse 10. Revelation chapter 12. Look at verse 10, 11, and 12. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. They laugh at us about Corona.
Yes.
Verse 12, therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Let me tell you something, the book's about to be balanced.
Amen.
Yeah. It is written, and the books are about to be balanced, and the devil knows he's got a short time. Now, he doesn't know when Jesus is coming. The angels in heaven don't even know that. Only the Father knows that. But he can tell. By the way, the devil knows the Bible. What did he use to quote, to tempt Jesus? The Word of God. He can twist it. He can twist that. There's churches all over this county today twisting the Bible to make it say whatever they want to say. But I got news to you. The account is about to be balanced. God the Father is fixing to bring old Slewfoot to the banister.
Yes.
And he's going to judge him. Amen. And finally, going to put our number one enemy out of business.
Yes.
Thank God. We'll be jumping the pew. The books are going to be balanced. Turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. I'm almost out of time. Romans chapter 4, verse 6. I'm going ahead and start reading. For even as David also described the blessedness of man unto whom God imputeth righteousness. I like this. Without works. God imputes. He puts it on you. God imputes it to you. Righteousness. God declares you righteousness without you doing a thing. Alright? Now look at verse 22 in chapter 4. Verse 22. And therefore it was not imputed to him for righteousness, for it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And that verse eight, I like verse eight. It says, blessed is the man in whom the Lord will not impute sin. Amen. When you get discouraged, just remember the books are going to be balanced and yours has already been paid for. Amen. My mama used to send me that little store. We had a little store. Every neighborhood had a little store. And I'd walk down there and she'd give me a list of stuff to get from the little, it's like a little general store, you know, about the size, not even big as this room, you know. And a little guy on that store and had necessities there, you know. And she'd send me with a little piece of paper and I'd go in there and that man go through there and pick out, you know, I'm a little kid and he'd go through there and pick it out and put it in a bag. And then he'd say, how are you going to pay for this? And I'd say, Mama said, put it on her bill. Y'all never did do that?
Yeah.
Mama said, put it on her bill. I didn't have to pay for nothing. Mama put it on her bill.
Yes.
And at the end of the month, she would settle her bill. Well, let me tell you something. God is putting my sins on his son's bill.
Amen.
And it's paid for. And when I get there and they open the book, he's going to say, what sins are you talking about? But when they get there, the unbeliever, that perverse, wicked generation that we're living in today, when they get to stand before God, God's going to look at the angel and say, read the book.
Yeah.
And they're going to give account for their own bill because they refused to receive the free gift of Jesus Christ. Brother Allen, now every time I go to the throne room of God now and I confess my sins, God looks over there and he looks at that angel. He said, put that on my son's bill. You ought to be jumping pews.
Yeah.
We ought to be shouting, crying, waving our hands. I'm not. Hey, it's on his account.
Amen.
Paid in full.
Praise.
Amen. My feet. If my feet didn't hurt so bad, I'd run a lap. But according to verse 8 in Romans chapter 4, it says, blessed is the man. That's me.
Yes.
Blessed is the man.
Yes.
Well, a preacher ain't much of a Christian. No, but God says, blessed is the man.
Yes.
Well, you're not much of a preacher. No, but God said, blessed is the man. Amen, amen, amen. To whom the Lord will not impute sin. In other words, that man or woman will not be held accountable because God did not put it on their bill. He put it on his son's bill. And 2020 years ago, Jesus paid my bill before I even owed it.
Thank you.
You know, that's why it's called the good news. The good news. But preacher, what about all those wicked, unbelievers, unregenerated, unsaved people that are so wicked and vile and they just spew out
filth and ugliness every time they open their mouth. And if you hadn't seen it, you'll thank God you haven't seen it. If you haven't heard it, you'll thank God you haven't heard it. Turn to Revelation chapter 20 again, and I'm almost through. Revelation chapter 20, look at verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now you gotta remember, this is after the rapture. This is after the 1,000-year reign of Christ. This is after the old devil being loose for a season. This is after the millennial reign. And now, the heaven, as Peter said, the heavens have rolled back like a scroll. And the earth is melted with a fervent heat. And we're standing out there in the middle of nothing. And we're behind the throne of God. We've been saved. We've been adopted. It's not been imputed to us. We're saved. But that crowd in now is resurrected who refused the grace of God. They refused the forgiveness of sin. And now they got to give account.
Yes.
Now, chapter 21, verse 8. Chapter 21, verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars. Boy, if you said that today, you might get locked up.
Yeah.
That's hate speech.
Yeah.
Shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. They died without God. They died without a Savior. They went to hell. Hell's been done away with because the earth is melted with a fervent heat and hell is in the heart of the earth. Isaiah said hell enlarges itself every time you have an earthquake. And so the earth's been melted. Now here's all these lost people sent out there. They've been taken out of hell. They get to go to heaven for just a few minutes. And now God says, open the books. And he says, well, it's not in the book of life. That's gone. Not the Lamb's book of life. And so, all right, read me his works. And they'll be judged for punishment, degrees of punishment, for their works. We don't have any works. Oh, devil didn't like that. But listen, we don't have any works to be afraid of. All our works are under the blood. If I keep my eyes on this filthy, vile world, I'm going to get discouraged.
Yes.
And I'm going to get defeated. And I may even fall away. Not to perdition. I can't be lost, but fall away. Get out of church. Quit reading the Bible. Quit praying unless I'm in trouble. And may even get into sin if I don't remember what God has said ahead of time.
Amen. Yeah.
You know, God didn't wake up when Donald Trump got elected and said, uh-oh, I didn't know all this was going to happen. You know, whoever gets the next president, God's not just going to wake up and say, well, I slept through the last three presidents. I don't know who this guy is. Before the foundation of the world was ever laid, God knew.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
So what should we worry about? Nothing. That's why he says worry's sin. It's supposed to be I'm in his hand, his hand's in the Father's hand, and no man can pluck us out. It's supposed to be in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct thy paths. It's supposed to be whosoever shall call shall be saved. It's supposed to be according to the word of God, and that we're supposed to be lights in this dark world, and it seems like the lights are getting awful dim because either they don't know or they forgot what God said. I'm not going to hell.
Yes.
This is closest to hell I will ever be. Right here, right now.
Yes.
Sometimes sinners say to me, I'm not going to hell, I'm in hell already. I say, no, you just got a taste of it.
Yes.
But it ain't heaven either.
Amen.
And I ought not live like I'm already in heaven. I ought to keep pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day.
Amen.
All to work till Jesus comes. Not to be saved, but because I am saved.
Yes.
And I ought to stand against evil and wickedness and perversion. But I ought to share the love of Christ and what He did on the cross. And that's what saved me and you. And that's what keeps me and you. And that's what will turn this nation back to God. Over 50,000 people on the Mall of Washington praying up there with Franklin Graham Wednesday. That'll change this country. People, hey, going back to church. That'll change this country. Reading the Bible again. That'll change this country. Rebuke the old devil in his crowd with the Word of God. That'll change this country. Win people to Christ. Get them out of hell.
Amen.
Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. That'll get this country right. But I got news for you. Whether it gets right or wrong, God's already written it down.
Amen.
And I got nothing to worry about.
Amen.
Amen. That's enough to make a Presbyterian shout.
Right.
So what are we going to do this week? We're going to walk like saved people. We're going to look like saved people. We're going to think like saved people. We're going to love like saved people. And we're going to look up like saved people. Every time somebody says, what do you think about this stuff going on? Ain't it awful? I say, yeah.
Yep, yep.
I say, what you looking for, Jesus?
Amen.
He said, look up, your redemption draws nigh. It can't get much worse than this. He must be on his way. Amen. You're talking about scaring people.
Yes.
Get talk to them about it and then say, wait a minute, I thought I heard something. Amen. If you're not saved today, you know what? We laugh about this, but you're living in fearful times if you're not saved. You ought to be afraid. If you're not saved, you ought to be afraid. Because I think the trumpet is about to sound. I think He's coming. Matter of fact, I think the angels are standing up there now looking over at the throne and saying, now, Father? Now, Father? Did you hear that? Not Father, now? You ought to be afraid. Because see, when the books are open, the Lamb's Book of Life, and He looks over at the angel, and the angel say, nope, not here.
Yeah.
He's going to say, okay, I didn't look in his book. He's got an account. And he's fixing to have to pay for it. Mama can't do it. Daddy can't do it. The preacher can't do it. You need a Savior. And if you don't get it now,
that's right,
you won't get it.
Amen.
Let's stand. If you're not saved today, run.